Good evening, Lifeliners. I am thrilled to be here as well as to hear the magnificent news in regards to God's ability in what he can do and what he has done. He is truly an awesome God. And I also want to just take this moment to thank my pastor for finding me, giving me this opportunity to come before you. So I will get right into our word on tonight. I am coming out of the book of Genesis, starting in chapter 2, verse 9, and it reads as follows. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And now verse 16, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. Verse 17 says, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. And then in chapter 3, verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And so from these verses, I want to extract the thought for you, satisfaction guaranteed. We live in a time where satisfaction we look forward to, especially around the holiday season. We want good food. We want good presents. And there are times that we are happy with what is delivered to us or given to us. And then there are other times that we are not. The advertisement of satisfaction is what a number of retailers and food service, they state that you will be satisfied with what they produce. However, I have lived long enough to know that it's always not the truth, that sometimes what I am all hyped up about doesn't deliver. I am hyped up about some foods, and when I get there to the restaurant, sit down, make the order, it just does not deliver. But there is a satisfaction that is guaranteed, and it can only come from the one who knows how to mix certain ingredients together to bring about a taste or a fulfillment within our spirits that allow us to have satisfaction. And I want to note that satisfaction, it's a choice. And it's your choice. It's your choice alone. It's not dependent upon others' actions. It's not dependent upon how you've been treated, how you have not been treated, what you have, what you don't have, what you wish you had. It doesn't matter how tall you are, how short you are, how thin or how heavy, et cetera, and et cetera. It's your choice. It belongs to you. It belongs to you and you alone. It is part of what God has given you, free will to make some choices. And I also want to note that guaranteed satisfaction doesn't come easy. It's a process. It's not a one and done. It's not a one and done affair. It's a journey. It takes time to get there. You have to follow a specific recipe that is unique only to your palate. What I like, you may not like. What it causes for you may not, it might not be the same cause for me. But I do believe that there is a recipe that God laid out in these scriptures that will help us not do the fool, as our pastor would say, as these individuals, the first humans did, when they could have simply made some different choices and been satisfied. And so the first thing I want to point out to me that this scripture said, if we would have simply, if Eve and Adam, or Adam and Eve, would have simply counted their yeses. Here it is in verse 9, it says that God made all kinds of trees. He made the trees we see here in Illinois. He made the trees that's down in the south, the weeping willows, which I think are beautiful trees. He made the palm trees that's over in California where someone is residing today. He made all kinds of trees. And not only did he make them, he said that they were pleasing to the eye. And he connected these two things together, that they were good for food. And here we are. These individuals are presented with these trees that they have full freedom to enjoy. And they didn't go about counting what they had. They began to look at what they didn't have. That always tends to get us in trouble. We always begin to look over and think the grass is greener. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I can look out my second story over across the street and see the grass, and it looks so green. And so one day I walked down this street, and it was just as brown as the grass that's in my backyard and on my side yard. But from where I was standing, it appeared to be greener than what I had. And this is what happens right here in this story. The first humans, they think that the trees that God has given them, I believe that if they had began to simply count what God had given them, just began to count all the yeses that God had said, that yes, I could have that tree, yes, I could have that tree. And if they had began to do that, that they never would have gotten to the tree that he said they could not have, because they would have been too busy looking at the blessings that God had given them. I mean, if we take the time to just think about all the yeses, how many seconds did God give us today? How many minutes did he bless us with? And of course, I know that there are a number of women on this line that if we look at our shoe game, oh my goodness. And it's not just women, it's men got a shoe game as well. But if we begin to just count our yeses, yes, maybe the car that I drive or you drive is different from what someone else has. I remember a gentleman in my neighborhood who used to drive a car that was just, we would say a hoopty, or it had multicolored doors. But he said an ugly car was better than any dressed up pair of shoes, that he could get from here to there quicker than anyone else could if they were walking. And so if we would focus, if we would be intentional, if we would be purposeful and look at what God has said yes to, we wouldn't have the time to be salty. There would be no need to be vexed or envious, because we would just be so overwhelmed by what God has given us and what he has done in our lives. Not somebody else's life. I'm talking about the life that he has given you, the life that he has given me. It's specific. That is the reason why the choice is yours, and it is yours alone. Another point that I think that would make good for being satisfied and it's guaranteed is simply to obey. Obeying would bring about dividends. If we do things the way God has asked us or commanded us to do, I don't think that we would be disappointed. I believe that if we do what God has told us to do or commanded us to do, it would spare us some disappointment. It would spare us some regret. I'm sure right now that if you would look back over your life, you can easily bring up a scene where you say, I wish I would have listened. I wish I would have done what my mother had said, what the doctor had told me to do, what my friends had advised me of. If I had only followed those directions, if I had only committed myself and listened to what someone had told me, if I had only believed what the word of God had instructed me to do, that I wouldn't have gone through some of the things that I've gone through. I know that it's easily said that, oh, God intended for us to go through something so that we could be here right now. I beg to differ. I believe that if we had made some different choices, that it would have brought about some different answers, that there would have been things that would have been done different if we had chose differently. I mean, we live in a time right now where obeying authority has just simply gone out the window. I know many of you drive, and if you're like me, you're on one of the highways, and there go a number of cars now riding on the shoulder. Every now and then it would occur, but now it's a regular occurrence. Why is that? Because obeying authority is not high on people's priority list today. Right now, it's about whatever I want, I do. We don't like to follow guidelines. We don't like to follow rules because we make it all about us and not about Him. But I honestly and truly believe that His word is true, that our God can do exactly what He says He can do, and He will do it. If you look back, you will find that He hasn't failed you yet. The failure is in us, in our response to what God has asked us to do. But even in His gentleness, He has restored us. And then there's one more point that I think is worth hearing in regards to this lesson. In the verse 16, where the Lord commanded the man to that he could freely eat, but not to eat from the tree. And then when we get down to chapter 3 and verse 6, where the woman, she's now at that tree that she shouldn't be at, and she says that she realizes that the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, which is that's how God made it. I don't know why it seemed so different when she saw it. It was absolutely the way God had created the tree, that they were good for food and that they were pleasing to the eye. And then it says also desirable for gaining wisdom. So she now added a little bit more to it so that what she was about to do, it just kind of made sense to her. You know how we do when we want to do something. We add a little bit more to a recipe to make it taste the way we want it to taste, even though that's what those were not the instructions that we were given. So I think that if we do this other ingredient, and that's simply line up with God's word and say, yes, Lord. When we say, yes, Lord, it's not just obeying, because there is the word that says that when we pay our tithe, that God doesn't want us to do it begrudgingly. We can pay Him. We are obeying by paying Him, but He doesn't want us to do it begrudgingly. And He says, please don't do it out of necessity. Why? Because really He don't need your money, but it is an act of obedience. But there is a way to give that tithe, and that is to be a cheerful giver, to understand that when we do it for the Lord, when we say, yes, Lord, I want to do this because, one, You have commanded us to do it. Two, because I know when I obey You, there is some benefit. There is some dividends that will be paid. When I look through the scripture and I think about Leah, who was Jacob's first wife, it says that after she had had three sons, when she had her fourth son, is when she declared that now I would praise the Lord. That's when she said, yes, Lord, because her first three sons, why she was, what she was thinking was that her husband was going to love her the more, because having a son at that day and time meant everything. And so after she had the first son and the second son and the third son, she had that focus on what a man was supposed to feel towards her. But when she had that fourth son, she said, yes, Lord, I have come to realize that if He don't never love me, that You do. So now I will praise the Lord. I can see David saying, yes, Lord, when he went to face the giant. Why? Because he could look back over his life and see that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of the lion and the hand of the bear. So he wasn't concerned with his ability, but he was satisfied with God's ability. When he faced the giant and he declared to that Philistine, he told him that he came with a sword and he came with a spear and a shield. But he meaning David, he said, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He has come because he has been in agreement with God, with the task at hand that God has assigned for him. He said, yes, Lord. He said, yes, Lord. And then we know the ultimate one, Jesus himself, he aligned and said, yes, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. And so when we align ourselves with what God has said, believing it, not just obeying it, but saying, yes, Lord, being in agreement with what the Lord has said, then I believe that satisfaction is guaranteed. Because I believe that when you mix all these things together, when you begin to look at the things that God has done for you, not what somebody has said, what God has done for them. I love testimony stories. I have so many of my own. But when I think about what the Lord has done for me, when I sit back and I count my guesses, knowing that I was an old disobedient child. Oh, by the way, I was a disobedient adult too, so I don't want to just leave it in my childhood. God has been good to me, and when I count my yes, when I have obeyed the Lord, when I have obeyed his commandments, when I say, yes, Lord, I'll sacrifice my time, when I say, yes, Lord, that I will stay married, when I say, yes, Lord, I will be here, I will do this, and I will do that, because you have asked me to do it, oh Lord. I believe that when all those ingredients are mixed together, that is called peace, and that the Lord says that thou will give him perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, simply because I trust him, simply because he is God. He is the creator. He is the creator of heaven and earth. So satisfaction is guaranteed. That way I don't have to depend on anyone else. I don't have to wait for my husband to do something in my soul that only God can do. I don't have to put that burden on him. The choice is mine. The choice is mine to be satisfied with what God has given me. I'm 5'3". And there were times when I was playing basketball in high school, I wish I was a little taller. I know you laugh because you're playing, how can you play basketball as short as you are? That's okay. Nothing beats a failure but a try. And so I tried to play basketball when I was in high school. But I am 5'3". And I had to come to be satisfied with being the height that I am. I can put on heels and accelerate or exaggerate it a little more, but it's just temporary. I'm going to take those heels off at some point. But I have to be satisfied with the things that God has done in my life, the skin color that he has assigned me, the parents, the siblings, the job that he was so gracious enough to give me. I have to be satisfied. And in order to achieve that satisfaction so that no one else can take it away, irregardless of what is going on in the world, I have to look to him, the author, the creator, the finisher of my faith. I have to be sure that what he said he's going to do, that he's able to do. See, this is a God that said about me, and not only me, but he also said it about you, that when we were in our unformed body, he said this in Psalm 139:16, that all the days that was ordained for me, that were ordained for you, were written in his book before one of them, before we lived one of those days, they were already written down. And so as I meditate on that word, as I think about that word, everything was written down in his book. He put all the punctuations there. He knew where to put a comma. He knew where to put a period. And I can just see him putting an exclamation point. When I decided to make Jesus my Lord, I can see he put exclamation, exclamation, exclamation. All my days, all your days were written down before any one of them came to be. Only an awesome God to do that. Only an awesome God care enough to send the very best. He is truly a wonderful God. Although my days on this earth have been short, I think they've been short simply because I'm still young. But since I've been here, and through everything, and when I look at what the first humans, what choices they made, it helps me to make different choices. I mean, I'm like them in so many ways, not being satisfied with some of the things that God had provided, adding to the story, thinking I can achieve what better than what he had ordained. But at the end of the day, one of my favorite scriptures that has helped me be who I am, helped me to be steadfast, to help me to be unmovable in what he has said pertaining to me, comes from the book of Psalms. It's the 27th Psalm, and it is the 13th verse that said, I would have fainted. All the trials and tribulations that I've gone through, I would have fainted if I had not believed, if I had not took the time to believe, to see the goodness of the Lord right now in the land of the living. Not on the other side, but right now in the land of the living, I see God's goodness. So know this, that satisfaction can be guaranteed if you just create the right recipe. Amen. Amen.